Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative, a boutique brand and web design studio. I'm here to help you learn, up-level, and find community in your design business journey. Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday. Hey everyone, welcome back to Better the Brand Designer podcast. Super excited to hang out with you guys today. And I'm really excited about our topic today because this has been a very highly requested topic, and I don't think we've ever actually covered the nitty-gritty of what my website design process looks like on the podcast. And I'm actually glad that we haven't recorded this until today because my web design process has gone through so many different rounds of iteration based off of every single client project that I do. I feel like I'm always going back to my process after I finish up a client and tweaking and changing things, adding phases, removing steps, making things more efficient, and especially, this is the big one, giving myself a lot more time than I think I'm going to need, especially in the development process. So what I'm going to share with you guys today is going to be a peek behind the curtain at my exact web design process from start to finish. And the way I'm going to do this, I actually have my my project template in Notion pulled up right now. I have an inline database for all of you Notion girlies. And I have it divided out by client, task, phase, due date, status, assignee, and then there's a little section for notes and guidance, like when does this start, 6 days after the client fills out the questionnaire or whatever, just internally for my team to be able to go in and populate the timeline when we onboard a new client. So I'm going to kind of just talk through this. First, I'll give a big overview of the main phases, and then I'll break down each individual phase, tell you guys what happens in that phase, tell you guys how long we take on that phase, and then just like any other little notes that pop into my head as I walk you guys through it. So it's a little web design process workshop. So as you guys know, every single website is going to be slightly different from the one before it and probably the one after it as well. And so what I've developed here is a pretty general timeline and kind of project overview of what a typical semi-custom show it design and development project looks like. And I've actually been thinking a lot about the phrase semi-custom because I feel like it's very popular in our industry for good reason, because basically what I mean by semi-custom and what I meant by semi-custom when I first started offering that service was that I would purchase a template on the client's behalf. The cost would be included in the total project cost. And then I would go in and, you know, populate the template into their Show It account, add their branding, colors, fonts, copy. If I was writing it, then I would write the copy, or I would put the copy that they provided in there. And then of course populate like all the content, like photos and things like that. Over time, I started doing a lot more customization to the templates just because there were certain sections that like maybe didn't exist in the template that I wanted to build myself. And so over time, it's gotten away from a true semi-custom build and become more like almost fully custom. We actually stopped using third-party themes at Hello June about a year ago, mainly due to cost. I mean, Show It templates can be really pricey, like upwards of $1,000 or even $1,200, $1,500. And although they did help me save a lot of time in building out the site, I didn't love that I really had to still put a theme credit at the bottom of the site. I really wanted that website footer credit to be just me, to generate direct traffic to me and not be advertising for the theme developer. So we actually started building what I'm calling the internal modular template for Show It builds, which we use for every single Show It project. And I actually don't offer fully custom Show It website design anymore. And I'm able to offer semi-custom based off of this internal theme at a pretty great price point that feels really good for me. It feels profitable for my studio, and it feels great for my clients because they're not having to pay the full custom cost of a custom website that they would have to pay if they were working at if they were working with an agency or something like that. So that's been working out really well. I'm thinking about kind of doctoring up that modular template and releasing that for purchase for people who are curious about getting their costs down when it comes to offering semi-custom website design. But you know, they don't want to go out and buy a bunch of themes, but they also don't want to do fully custom. So that's going to be in the works in the back end of things. But back to the semi-custom conversation, it ended up being not really semi-custom anymore and more fully custom. And so I'm just in search of a new phrase that I can use to describe what I'm doing, because I am working off of the same theme for every single website that I do. And so certain sections, people will be able to recognize website to website, and my clients are fine with that. And so I don't want to call it custom because it's not technically custom, but I feel like it's like a level between semi-custom and custom. So I'm thinking just calling it, like, I don't know, the Hello June signature website design, and then explaining to the client kind of like what they can expect in terms of what the modular theme is able to do. So we also have been, you know, adding a lot more JavaScript and CSS to our Show It websites to just add a little bit of spice, a little bit of movement, animation. And that's also taken our Show It websites to the next level. So if anyone can think of a great term that encapsulates what I mean between semi-custom and fully custom, please DM me at Hello June Creative. All right, without further ado, let's get into the web design process that we use here at Hello June. So there's going to be 4 phases of web design. I like to keep things as simple as possible. I used to use ClickUp and just detail every single little subtask, and it ended up just being so overwhelming to me and the client that I switched over to Notion and I've never looked back. So each of the 4 phases has about 4 to 5 subtasks within it. And so I'm just gonna do a high level overview of what those phases look like, how long they take, and then we'll go into the little subtasks. So for this particular, I'm gonna call it semi-custom because that's just what I'm using right now, semi-custom Show It website design and development. This is gonna take place, or it's gonna start taking place right after the brand concept has been fully exported. Sometimes the export overlaps with the first phase of the web design process, but it just, we go right into web after that. And so this whole process is going to take about 3 months from start to finish. And we do a little bit of a longer timeline on, even though it's a semi-custom website, because a lot of the time we're also writing the copy for the client. And now that I have a team, there's more rounds of internal revision that we do that just makes it so that it makes a lot more sense for us to have a little bit of a longer timeline. Recently, I've also lengthened and broken out feedback and quality assurance into its own phase rather than including that inside the website design and development phase. So that has also lengthened out the timeline because I've realized that we just need a lot more time for testing and QA. So I'll go over that when we get to that phase. So let's start with the first phase. The first phase is the web prep phase. The second phase, the web design and development phase. Third phase is the web feedback and QA phase. And then the fourth phase is the launch phase. So it is, we start out with getting the development environment prepared, you know, doing our call, questionnaire, etc. Web design and dev is obviously where we're doing the bulk of the work of building and designing the website. Feedback and QA is exactly what it sounds. The client's able to provide feedback, we implement, and then we do our full QA sweep. And then our launch phase, we'll either break it out into a soft launch and a full launch, or just a full launch if it's a little bit of a smaller project and the client doesn't need to do further testing with their users. So let's just kind of break down that first web prep phase. So this is the shortest phase of the entire web process for us. It takes 4 days. Reminder that I am on a 4-day work week. So Thursday is the last day that I am in office. I'll give you guys exactly like what days of the week things happen, because I use days of the week to kind of figure out what exactly our team needs to be working on and when things are going to be delivered. As a rule of thumb, at Hello June, all delivery, like for, you know, a brand concept or a homepage or anything the client needs to look at and review, is delivered to the client by the end of the day on Thursday. The client has Friday, Saturday, Sunday to review, and their feedback is always due end of day Sunday, so we can hop right back in Monday morning and start implementing their feedback. This is a great way to utilize that off day that I have, where all the clients are reviewing their stuff on the day that I'm off work. So although there's always stuff to do, it's just kind of like a natural break in the process for me to take that day off. So I found that that works really well. Little tidbit if you want to try attempt to do a 4-day work week, which I highly recommend to everybody. So the four steps of the web prep phase is that the client fills out their web questionnaire. I do this in HoneyBook. I provide the questionnaire to them when they onboard to the whole project. So if we're doing brand strategy and brand concept, typically that takes about 6 to 8 weeks. So it's about 2 months before that. They fill out their web questionnaire. And then we have our web planning call that is a week later. So their web questionnaire is due 1 week prior to their website planning call. In preparation for the call, I do a sitemap and a content architecture outline. I do the sitemap in Figma. I use the little mind map tool to kind of break out all of the different pages that we're going to be doing on the site. I do outline all the pages in the proposal. So way back when I'm onboarding the client, I make a very solid list of all the pages that we're going to need for the project. Typically, this is pretty similar client to client because I work with a lot of similar industries like interior designers and fine artists. So it's easy for me to anticipate what pages that they might need. But I include that list not because I know that that's going to be the final page list, but because that gives me something to rely on when the client asks for an additional page or not. So during the proposal process, if they see that page list and they're like, oh, well, I really wanted to have an FAQ page or whatever, they can tell me that before they sign on and I can adjust the pricing accordingly before they even jump into the project with us so that they're not adding pages for free later on in the process. And I have something to go back to if they ask, hey, you know, where's the such and such page? I say, oh, that actually wasn't in our original scope, but I'm happy to add that on at an additional cost and a timeline increase. So that's what kind of we outline on the sitemap. And then the content architecture is something that we've been doing more recently over the last few months, even if we're not doing copy for the client, just so that my team is able to look at that outline. It's basically an outline of all the content that's going to be on the website, all the different sections on every single page, what we're anticipating for each section. So a headline, eyebrow, body copy, two sentences in the body copy. We get really granular and plan out exactly like how much text we want in each section. Photo on the left, headline and body on the right, or three icons across with tiny paragraphs and eyebrow headlines. And what I mean by an eyebrow headline, in case you're like, what is she talking about? It is a tiny line of text that sits right above a headline. I use them all the time in my design. I just think it's a really great way to add a little bit of explainer text to a section if you want to have a headline that's a little bit more conceptual or more just kind of like fun copy so that the client knows exactly what they're looking at. You can take a look at my website or any of the websites that I've done to see what I'm talking about. So that's the content architecture, and that does take some time. I was a little resistant to this at the beginning of kind of when we conceptualized this, because like, oh, this is going to take so much time. But let me tell you, it saves us so much time during the web design and development phase because me and my team already know exactly what I'm thinking for each section of the website, and it makes it a lot easier for my team to go in and design and develop those sections. Shout out to Lauren. You're amazing. I'm so glad that we're doing content architecture now. So that's going to be what I prepare for the client. And then on the web planning call, we review the sitemap live with the client. I get feedback and implement it right there on the call with them. They love being able to see their sitemap. It's a really cool moment to share with them. And then I review the site, the content architecture with them and, you know, ask them, how does this look? Like, you know, do we need to add anything? Do we need to remove anything? Like what FAQ questions do you want in there? So we get really, really granular with them about the content. And if they're not writing the copy or if they are providing the copy for the website, we still do the content architecture, and then they can take that and then write the content to that content architecture. So if it's like main section or main header at the top of the website, one headline with a paragraph that has two sentences, they can write a headline and a paragraph with two sentences, and they don't like end up writing way too much copy, which is super helpful. Most of our clients opt to do website copywriting with us, which is just really helpful. And so I'll write a little bit of the copy during the content architecture. Most of the time I just kind of, it's a really big, kind of zoomed out overview. And then when I'm in development and design, I'll write the copy. Lauren will design. So basically the way that we split it up is I design the homepage, Lauren designs all of the interior pages based on the content architecture, and then I go in and populate the copy after the design is done. This is, you know, contentious in the design phase because some people say, oh, you need to write the copy first and then design to the copy. But I've been doing this long enough and I understand the industries that I work in enough to know what needs to go where pretty much on the websites. So it just makes more sense for us to do the design and then me to write the copy to the design because we're already planning out exactly what we want to go on each section. So after the website planning call, I get approval from the client on the sitemap and the content architecture. If they need a little bit more time, like an extra day to like review the content architecture and sitemap and get back to me, then that's fine. My goal is by the end of the week to have both of those two things completely and officially approved. Then on the Wednesday and Thursday of that week, so the web planning call is always on a Monday because I always do calls on Mondays. And then the web setup happens that Thursday and Friday. So that means that Lauren goes in to show it and she installs the modular template. She applies the branding. She uploads all of the brand assets. She, you know, plugs in the logo where it needs to go. And then we can change it later if I'm doing a different design for the navigation. I like doing the homepage because it allows me to do the like the footer and the nav, and I feel like those are just such important parts of the website. Obviously, Lauren could do them, but like it's just really it's nice to be able to go in and like do the main structure and, you know, determine the sizing of the headline and the body copy and the spacing and everything. And then she can just go like breeze through the rest of the pages. I'm making it sound a lot easier than it is. Doing a full show outside definitely takes, you know, quite a while. I believe Lauren's told me that it takes her about an hour and a half to do each interior page, sometimes more if it's like a really long page, like the services or about page. But that's still really, really fast to me. But it still can take a lot of time to build out all of the interior pages of the site. And then we also have to go in and write the copy too. So doing as part of the web setup, she also uploads, she compresses, names the files with like keyword names for the photos. And uploads them into their respective folders within the media library and show it. So she names the folders. If it's like projects, she'll name all the folders and upload all the photos and everything. So I have everything prepped and ready to go for me to jump in and just design the homepage. And I try to do homepage designs in a single day, like meaning homepage design and development for desktop and mobile. I try to do that in a single day. Sometimes I do like a half day and then I come back to the next day and then do a half day on that day to wrap it up. That's for the design and dev only. The copy does end up taking another extra, I would say maybe hour and a half to write. So that's kind of the pacing that we do. So that's the web prep phase. Moving on to the web design and development phase, this one is very long as well. Both the web design and development phase and the web feedback and QA phases are about a month long each. And like I said before, I didn't used to spend a whole month on feedback and QA, but I realized that I was spending a month on feedback and QA and pushing my timeline over time. So I just went ahead and built that time into the timeline from the get-go. So for web design and dev, we jump right into that after the web setup is completed. So the Monday following that a web kickoff call. Like I mentioned, we do the homepage. I guess I got ahead of myself. I do the homepage development and copywriting first, and then the client gets to review that, provide feedback. And then when they provide feedback, me or Lauren will go and implement the feedback on the homepage, send it back to the client, and then as soon as I'm done developing the homepage, and or maybe we wait for the client to provide feedback. Most of the time, they don't really have design feedback on the website. It's more copy related. She just goes right in and starts doing all of the internal pages development. And once she's done with each internal page, she'll ping me and say, hey, services page is ready for copy. I'll go in and write the copy to that page. So we're kind of tag teaming it as we go. Lauren on design and dev, me on copywriting. And then once everything is complete, we put it all into a really cool software that is called Pastel. I used to use something called markup.io, and you guys might be familiar with that, but Jin Chua, my amazing Shopify developer, turned me on to Pastel. It's usepastel.com in case you guys are curious about what the software, how to get to the software. It is just like markup on steroids. It's amazing. It has these little drop downs that allow you to determine which status a certain feedback request is in, like in progress, in review, completed, open. Like it just is such an amazing way to gather and implement client feedback on websites that I highly, highly recommend. It's definitely a little bit pricier than markup. I believe you can have up to 3 projects free, but we do work with quite a few website projects at a time. So we do end up paying, I think it's like $90 a month or something, which I think is a little pricey for software, but it is the amount of time and organization it offers and the client experience we're able to offer to our clients with website feedback that can get out of hand really quickly. It's so worth it. So that's the design and development phase. All in all, it takes about a month. The homepage, I like to take, I know I said I try to do it in a day, day and a half, but I do give myself about 2 weeks to do the design, do the development, make sure everything is looking good on mobile as well. I do mobile design at the same time that I do desktop. So I'll do a desktop section, do a mobile section, do a desktop section, do a mobile section. Just saves me a ton of time rather than having to go back and clean up the mobile. That's brand new to Show It. That's my biggest tip, is to do the development on desktop and mobile in tandem rather than doing all desktop first and then going back and having to clean up mobile. It'll save you tons of time, I promise. So that homepage takes about 2 weeks. Homepage development, client feedback. Again, I deliver it on a Thursday. They get 3 days to provide their feedback because it's just one homepage, so it doesn't really take them too long to provide all their feedback. We do that in Pastel. And then we begin implementing feedback and building out the rest of the interior pages, and that process takes 3 weeks. So homepage feedback in addition to new and full site interior pages. I mean, it's quick. That's a 3-week development timeline, but you know, the clients that we work with, they don't typically have huge, huge site maps. And then if it's like a portfolio-based site, we'll typically develop one portfolio page so that the client can review it, and then we'll populate the rest of the pages later on once we've gotten approval, just so we don't have to like change a bunch of things. Same thing with the blog. Also, a quick note about blogs is I recently divided out blogs for Show It on my proposals, meaning that I don't just include blog setup and blog design in my main packages, because I've realized that it takes quite a while to get all the blog pages set up, because there's a main page, there's a blog post template page, there's a category page, there's a blog 404 page, there's any type of specialty sections that you need to do on your blog homepage, there's the blog sidebar on the like main blog, you know, the blog article page. There's just so much that goes into it. So I ended up, you know, doing an add-on for that. And I think it's, I think right now, you know, so don't quote me on this. This might be a little bit different. I haven't checked my offer suite in a little bit, but I think it's around $2,000 as an add-on to the website package, because we were just spending so much time troubleshooting the blog, because there's, you know, there's some complexities when it comes to blogging and Show It, just because it's based in WordPress, and then you can't really test it until you've got a live domain, an actual copy in the blog, and so there's, it just adds another layer of complexity. So we've been charging for the blog, and you know, some clients want the blog and they'll pay it, and some clients don't want the blog and then they don't have to pay for that. So it just, it gives the client even more flexibility and control over the cost of the project. So the web design and development phase ends when we deliver the full site to the client. Then we enter the web feedback and QA phase. So this one, again, it's about a month. I think this one's a little bit less than a full month, maybe about 3 weeks. So we have rounds of development. The way we do it with website feedback is that we do 2 rounds of full site feedback, meaning that the first round, the client gets a weekend, again, a Thursday through a Sunday, to provide full site feedback, like initial feedback. Then we implement that the next week. So we get a full week to implement the client's full site feedback, because feedback implementation on a full site can actually take quite a while. And then the client has another full site feedback round. So that Thursday to Sunday, they give us another round. And then we get another full week to implement that second round of feedback. I don't know if you guys are, you know, maybe you'll relate to this, but I find that every time the client opens up their website, they're going to find new things that they want you to change. And so building in 2 rounds for them to like really look through everything, sleep on it, come back to it, you're going to be able to collect as much feedback as you possibly can during this phase, rather than being in the pre-launch phase and having the client be like, oh my gosh, I want to change this one thing. Like, we want to get it all during the website feedback phase. So after we do those two rounds of feedback and feedback implementation, we do another call called the development review call. And I started implementing this because I really wanted to connect with my clients face-to-face and do a live walkthrough of their website to collect any additional feedback that they might have. So we've basically got three rounds of feedback. Two are without a call. One of them is live with me in a call. And if they have feedback, then I'll just put it in Pastel during the call. And I do record that call so that in the case that we can't do later in the process and they say they're unhappy with the website, then we can go back to that development review call and I can, you know, see that they told me that everything looked okay. I've never really had to use that, but it is a nice thing to have in my back pocket just in case. And then after the development review call, we go into the full website QA period. For Show It sites, I only leave 1 week for quality assurance because we've been doing so much feedback implementation and like collecting so much client feedback for 2 weeks before this. And so we do 1 week for website QA right now for Show It. If it's Shopify, QA is like a whole month. For e-commerce, we do so much testing and iteration, especially if there's third-party applications. We have to wait for the app developers to get back to us. It's a whole other thing. But for Show It, I feel really good about just having 1 week for quality assurance. And what I mean by quality assurance is that my team goes in and follows a very extensive checklist that checks for links, like broken links, design, alignment, spacing, anything being cut off, duplicate photos being used on different website pages, photo display, favicon, and then functionality. So we're testing the site on Chrome, Safari, and Firefox. We're testing on multiple different screen sizes, so iPad or tablet, iPhones, different size iPhones, to make sure that the website is displaying beautifully on all different types of screen sizes. We're checking all links site-wide, gallery functionality, hover states, just all, there's a whole long list of all things that we do with QA. And in my Design Mini Mind, my Mini Minders do get access to the full list, which is really fun. I have a huge library of resources where they get literally access to everything in my business, which is super fun. But we also do SEO here. We do the SEO copy. We write in the page titles, meta descriptions. We add the share images. We ensure that we've ordered canvases and elements according to best SEO practices within Show It. You can learn more about that from Show It themselves. And we ensure that all text has been labeled with the proper text tag. That's a Show It specific thing, which helps with SEO and screen readers. So there's a really, really long checklist. I go through the checklist. Lauren goes through the checklist. I have other people, if they're involved in the project, go through the checklist. And then I'll have our intern go through the checklist. So we just make sure that we are really catching every single thing that we possibly can. And then after that, the domain connection happens. We do the domain connection late in the process because we don't want the client's current site to be down for too long. So after what full web QA, we'd give the client a report of what we changed, what we updated, and then we go ahead and connect their domain. So that's the end of the web feedback and QA phase. Then we go into the launch phase, and the launch phase is about 2 weeks. So we get client final sign off the Monday after that QA week. So they're able to look at the site one last time. We don't always give them access to Pastel for this weekend just because we don't want to open up a ton more refinements because we've already done like a month of feedback. But we, you know, give them the site one last time after QA for them to look through that weekend and then give us official sign off due Monday. We ask this via writing and email saying, hey, the site is good to launch. Then we do our pre-launch checklist, which is again a really long checklist of all the things that we need to check to make sure the site is ready to go, especially around the domain. We create a site documentation list that has videos about how to update their website and all of their login information. We have the client swap in their credit card because I do pay for the Show It fees while we're developing the site just as like a client experience thing. And then as soon as we're ready to launch, they need to swap in their credit card to make sure that I'm not paying for their website for forever. And then we do create and send website mockups of the finished site. We do video mockups, scrolling mockups. We make a reel for the client so that they're ready to celebrate on social media and they have something beautiful to show off to their followers. And then we ask them to tag us or do a shared reel so that, you know, that shows up in our feed. And then, you know, that's a great way to generate new leads. Whenever a client launches their site is a huge opportunity to generate new leads for the next project, which is awesome if you do it in the right way. And then there's also a separate pre-launch checklist for Shopify that is a lot longer. I won't go into that because e-commerce is just so much more complex and we would be here for hours. And then we do our site launch. And typically we launch sites on Wednesdays because it's like smack dab in the middle of my week. So we have a time Monday, Tuesday to get things prepped. And then if anything majorly goes wrong that day, we have the rest of Wednesday and Thursday in office to be able to attend to any like major issues. And then after that, of course, is the offboarding phase and not really part of the web design phase. It's like a kind of a full project, project management thing, but that takes about 2 weeks where we send emails, send gifts, follow up on testimonials until the client submits their testimonial. So that's everything. You know, one last thing I kind of wanted to say about the launch phase is that we tell our clients up front, I mean, even way back in the process when we're doing our like web planning call, that bugs are a very normal part of building a website. Like, we launch websites that are not going to be perfect because it's impossible. Like, I don't think I've ever launched a website that had every little pixel in the perfect spot on desktop and mobile. We as a small studio, although we do have a pretty extensive QA process, do not have the resources of a much larger agency to ensure that every little thing is taken care of. And even in those large agencies, I'm sure bugs still slip through. It's technology, we're humans, we're trying to communicate, to tell it what we wanted to do, and there's going to be things that don't end up working out. So I always tell my clients, you know, in the web prep phase, in the development phase, in every single phase, I say like, you know, when we launch, when you find a little tiny bug or something, you know, hopefully nothing going to be major because we've done like a full month of QA and testing and feedback. Please shoot me an email and we will see to it as quickly as we can. It's very normal. Basically, I don't want the client to freak out if like we've launched their site and they see something that's gone, that looks a little off, or, you know, maybe is cut off somewhere or something that we didn't catch during the QA process, and we'll just get it fixed for them. So that just really helps with the client, not like, because when clients launch their websites, it's like, oh, it's live on the site, anyone can look at it. It's a little bit of a nerve-wracking process for them. So we really try to like hold their hand, make them feel really good about it, ensure that like, hey, if there's a bug, we've got it, we've got you. I don't really have anything in my contract that says like they receive any type of support post-launch. Because we have such an extensive feedback and QA process, most of the time we catch pretty much everything. And if there's anything afterwards, it's just like a glitch and show it or something, a little copy thing that we missed. And we just kind of wrap it up and fix it for them. But we are thinking about potentially offering a kind of website maintenance package just for my larger clients who just don't really have the time to be able to manage their site on their own, and they don't have an internal team member who's dedicated to that. Thinking just kind of a low monthly cost that they can opt into if they'd like afterwards, and I'll include probably some SEO reporting as well. But yeah, that's my little spiel about bugs that you guys can take and use in your own studios. So I'm so excited to have shared this with you guys. I'm curious what type of questions you have about the timeline or about the process or anything. This really has been a timeline and process that I have built myself. I did not get this from a course. I haven't really taken a ton of courses on website process. I mean, I really can't think of anything. I mean, I've taken, you know, of course, from Arc Design Studio, my friend Leigh, I've taken the Shopify Codex, and she does talk through a lot of like, you know, e-commerce process. This is very different from that because, you know, e-commerce is just such a different, it's a different ball game for sure. And so our e-commerce process definitely looks a lot different than this, but it does follow these four phases pretty closely. This is just the result of doing a lot of website work. So hopefully, you know, learn from my mistakes, take this process, make it your own. You guys probably won't need to take, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to assume, but if you are a solo brand designer and web designer, you don't have a team, and you're doing something semi-custom with a theme that you already love, or you're actually doing a true semi-custom where you're using an actual template and just customizing certain things, your timeline's probably going to look a lot faster than ours. A full service brand identity and strategy and semi-custom show at design and dev with copy, with a blog, that probably takes, you know, anywhere from 4 to 5 months. And, you know, some that's estimating on the long end, but that is because of the cadence that we have, typically it's because the clients want a little bit of a longer timeline. I know everyone wants their stuff like as soon as possible, but a lot of my clients really want to make sure that they have a lot of time to curate their photos. So I work with a lot of creatives, interior designers. I want to do a good portfolio. And of course the copywriting process also, kind of bakes in a little bit of extra time there. If we're doing a site that does not have copy, we end up breezing through the timeline just because the timeline is built for us to write the copy as well. And we don't really change it if we're not doing copy. So we end up just delivering early, which is always a good thing. So yeah, let me know what questions you guys have. Thanks so much for just listening to me, you know, my spiel about my website design process. Hopefully you guys learned something, took something away. Maybe you're going to edit something in your process. Or get inspired to craft a process that feels really organic and natural to you. All right, so let's do our inbox question. This week's inbox question is from Marta Nicole Rodson. Marta asks, finding clients who only need branding services is challenging. I'm often finding web development or design services is easier. What are the best lead gen options for this space? Okay, so Marta, I'm assuming you are saying that you don't currently offer web design and development and only offer branding, but you're having people ask you for web design. And I was actually in this space when I first started my business back in 2019. I did about 8 months where I only offered brand and website design, I only offered brand design. I didn't even offer web. I didn't know how to do it. Never built a website before in my life, aside from me trying to figure stuff out in Squarespace back when I was using Squarespace and not Showit. And I'm so glad that I'm using Showit now. I'm obsessed with the platform. But I just got so many people asking me for website design, and I just realized that those two services just go so hand in hand. If someone gets a new brand, oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes, they're going to need a new website as well. And so it actually took me losing out on a client I was super excited about because I didn't offer website design, and she really wanted to work with an agency that offered both. So that was painful enough for me to enroll in a program. I'm not sure if they're still doing it. It was the I Love Creatives Squarespace course. I think I'm saying that correctly. They might not still be doing it. I know there's a lot of other amazing Squarespace courses out right now. One of the top ones that I recommend, not because I've taken it, but because I know other people have taken it and loved it, is Rach from Square Stylist, Standout Squarespace. You know, I've heard amazing things about the value that you get out of that. But if you really want to like just kind of fiddle around and show it, I don't think you need to take a course and show it, to be honest. I did not. I kind of just taught myself how to use it. If you're a designer and you've used Adobe programs, I really feel like you'd be able to jump right into Show It. And there is quite a learning curve, but there's no code involved. I'm not a developer. You guys know that. I'm a little bit allergic to code. So it's just a super drag and drop builder. And I love just how much granular control I have, particularly over the mobile experience in Show It. That's something that I was really missing from Squarespace. Marta, my advice for you is if people are asking you for web design and development, you don't currently offer it, and if you're curious about it and you want to, I would recommend just kind of starting like a beta website offer. Price it pretty low. Be upfront with the client about the fact that, you know, this is going to be a new service for you. That's one of my tips. I don't really tell people, I don't know what I'm doing. I say, oh, this is a brand new service for my studio. I'm really excited about it. So they know that I'm new to it, but it doesn't come off like I don't know what I'm doing, even if I don't know what I'm doing. In terms of lead gen options for finding branding, you know, clients. I can't guarantee that someone might only want branding, but I'll give you my favorite lead gen options for both brand and web design. The vast majority of my leads now come from Instagram. I do a very specific content cadence. You guys can go look at my Instagram at Hello June Creative. We plan it out well in advance. We plan all of our content out the month before. We make it about a week before, and then I have my intern makes it. I do a lot of the writing. Lauren does some writing too. And I have my intern do also outbound engagement. And what I mean by that is just basically going and making friends with people in the DMs, going and following ideal clients, talking to them, responding to their stories, leaving really, really thoughtful comments in DMs for them. And we've gotten a lot of follow backs from that. We've invited people into our orbit, our pipeline. And then we just let our content do the selling. So rather than just kind of cold DMs and outreach, we just like, hey, you know, just found you on my explore page, like loving those new dining room chairs that you recovered with that cool fabric. I love using blues and greens in my work too, or something like that. And then just letting the conversation go where it goes naturally. And most of the time, it doesn't really end up with the client being like, hey, I need brand and website design. It's a long game, but, you know, months and months later, maybe even just a week or so later, sometimes right in the moment, sounds like, oh, I've been looking for a brand and web designer. Tell me more about your services. And I'm like, great. So just introducing yourself, particularly to new followers, has been just really, really amazing for lead gen for me. Another thing that I've been loving with lead gen recently is strategic partnerships for visibility. So meeting with parallel service providers like social media managers, copywriters, photographers, and doing content swaps with them, doing a blog post swap, doing an email swap, doing an IG live so that you guys can both share audiences has been great to just get new followers into my Instagram pipeline and then nurture them with their content, sell to them with their content. So those are the two things that I've been really, really loving right now. Obviously, you can do in-person networking, which is super fun if that's something that you have in your area. You know, you can do direct outreach. You can do cold email outreach. There's so many different lead gen options. You just got to find something that feels really organic and natural to you. And my signature make friends first outbound engagement that I've been doing since I started my business has been what has really allowed me to generate the type of leads that I'm doing now. Obviously, really, really strong positioning, a really great portfolio, really strong referrals, providing really good client experiences for your clients, website footer credits. That's a huge one. Also really great for SEO backlinks to your website to strengthen that SEO. So there's a lot of different things that you could do. You just got to find something that works for you and that feels good and that you can repeat and be consistent with. Marta, let me know if that was helpful. You can reach out on Instagram at Better Podcast or at Hello Dream Creative. Also, quick plug for my close friends' stories. I like to invite designers into my close friends list on Instagram because I do a little bit of behind the scenes content, talk directly to you guys, brand designers, web designers, a little bit of, you know, hey, this is what's going out in the studio this week. This is what I'm working on. So please DM me at Hello June Creative and ask me to get on my close friends list. I promise it's not weird. Someone DM'd me one time and said, podcast you told me to do this. This feels weird, but I really want to be in your close friends list. And so podcast me is telling you right now, go and DM me at Hello June Creative. Introduce yourself. Tell me how you found the podcast, and then I will hop you onto the close friends list. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening today. Hopefully you found something helpful, something to take away. You guys are doing an amazing job. Just the fact that you're here listening to a podcast episode all about how to, you know, improve or start a new website process is just, it's showing that you guys are becoming better brand designers and web designers. So really proud of every single one of you. I will see you guys in next week's episode. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode, leave a review, join our free Facebook community, and share the pod with your designer friends so they can join the fun. Give me a shout on Instagram at Better Podcast if you want to submit an inbox question, and visit the pod at hellojunecreative.co/podcast to learn more and snag discounts on my favorite resources. See you next week.